Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Air horn. Shrimp horn.
Oh, shrimp, shrimp.
That's right. The Dirt Dogs are back again with another episode of the world's least publicized podcast, Jam Hunt. You know what we do at this point. If you don't, go back and listen to episode one, goddammit. My name is Cody, and I am the bat that fucked your mom.
How? That's also our cat, though. You're next.
I'm Buggy, and ew, pervert alert.
Oh, pervert alert. I'm Beth, and I have failed as a parent because my kid is watching amusement park accidents on Instagram currently. Right? Theme park accidents.
I did look at that before this.
Why not? I don't see why not. I have no problem with it. So we're going to try something new here on Gem Hunt. It's a minor format change from what we usually do, which is we usually ramble up top about whatever, and then eventually we get into talking about the actual goddamn movie we're reviewing. But Beth and Buggy both proposed some interesting ideas recently that don't necessarily fit into our standard format, but it's always worthwhile to talk about some other shit other than the goddamn movie we're watching that we got loaded up. So we're going to tighten it up here a bit at the top so we can leave room at the end for a new segment. And here's what it's going to be. Whoever selects the movie also gets to choose a specific topic to discuss later in the episode that may or may not be related to the movie we're reviewing. Who knows? Anyways, I'm excited about this idea because I think you guys have come up with some exciting topics. I don't have one yet, but I got some time to figure that out. And I think this will be fun. This is Buggy's movie. Do you want to announce the topic now or let people hang until the end as a surprise?
I'm going to give it some suspense.
Oh, good
some
choice.
Suspense for fun.
Sit cool. And spin, bitches.
Hell yeah. The only other thing we have to talk about before we dive into this movie is Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
We went to see Wild at Heart a couple nights ago on Valentine's Day.
We did.
What do you think?
I love that movie, but it might be my least favorite David Lynch movie. But I love it. And also, Buggy's never fucking seen it.
No, there's like a couple of David Lynch movies I just haven't seen.
It is. It has like, so two of your childhood crushes.
Who?
Willem Dafoe and Crispin Glover.
Oh, yeah, they are. That's not like a childhood thing. That's current.
a current.
It's current.
It is. I mean, it has some really great lines and some really great. And I think the over the top things about it that kind of aren't my favorite are obviously intentional. I mean, I love that movie, but every time, you know, we do a lot of Lynch rewatching, and there are ones where I'm like, I love this even more. And there are ones like, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I feel a little bit the same way about Blue Velvet. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like there's parts of it I love, but there's some like lost in the wilderness.
I mean, I'm with you on Wild at Heart. It's definitely, I would say it might be my least favorite, although it's been 30 years since I've seen Elephant Man, so I can't fucking.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that forever.
I can't
really talk about
that intelligently, but
yeah.
In terms of like the contemporary Lynch catalog, Wild at Heart, every time I watch it, I'm like, I don't know about this. There's definitely things I like about it, but
Laura Dern.
Yeah.
And Diane Ladd are fucking incredible. Willem Dafoe is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
The music is fun. I don't know. Yeah. I like if you were to put it in a box of 10 other movies, I'd probably pick it. But I, you know, it's not my favorite Lynch, but it was fun to go see it like as an event. We saw it at Cinema 21. We ran into our good friends there.
Hell yeah.
And that was fun.
Yeah. I've never seen it on the big screen. So it definitely was fun seeing it in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true.
Okay. Without further ado, we're going to just blast right into this fucking movie. What are we watching tonight?
Okay.
Tonight, what did we watch that we're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about not watching, even though I actually was watching this movie before we started filming this. Anyway, we're watching Sundown, The Vampire in Retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so I want to briefly talk about how you decided to pick this movie?
Okay, well, I was trying to find a Western like horror film, and it was really hard because all of the ones I could find that sounded interesting had like a certain amount of votes and like a certain amount of like fame surrounding them. Like they weren't just like unheard of. And then the other ones I found were just bad or not horror films. They were just Western films. So that didn't work out. And then I found this one and it was actually close to the top, but it didn't have that many votes. And I was like, you know what? This seems kind of fun. And I watched it and I was like, oh, I like this movie. I'm going to pick this movie.
Hell yeah.
And then what happened?
So the funny thing is, when you selected this movie, the first thing I had you do is go check out our little small shelf of VHS tapes, which currently has two in them. We have more than two VHS tapes around here, but we have two sitting right next to us. One of them happens to be Sundown, movie. The Vampire in Retreat.
Oh, he Albert! Has something to say about it.
So the interesting thing about this is, how many months ago was that? Probably...
He said one, but that's not correct.
No, you're wrong. Yeah, no, it was...
In October?
God damn, I don't know. It was a while back. It was the last time we were in Seattle. I can't even remember when that was, but...
November. Right before the election?
Maybe.
The what?
I don't know. Never
right
heard
before
of it.
The what?
But anyway, our good friend Tom gave me a VHS tape that he found at the Short Run Comic Festival. There was a dude there just selling... cheap old VHS tapes. And he got this for us. And I've been hanging on to it, thinking this would maybe be a good one to do for Gem Hunt. I didn't even know it was a Western. And so when you picked it, I was like, oh, that's the one we've been hanging on to. So I was like super stoked to like finally watch it.
To get your choice robbed, to get it
smashed. I stole it.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, I was hoping that this was going to be maybe one of those movies that was so weird and rare that it was only on VHS, but it's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you can find it all over the place now, which is basically how it goes for all of these things these days. But I was shocked that this VHS was presented in widescreen. Widescreen?
Yeah,
wine
most,
theme.
Whenever I watch something, dun, it's dun, in dun. Wine screen. Oh, damn it. Get it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. All right.
I do get it, Mom. I am not that stupid. Thanks.
All right.
Harvey Weinstein.
Got it. I got that joke too, but I stepped on your dick on your joke and you stepped on my dick on my joke.
Oh yeah. Okay. Details. What the hell's going on here? It was released in 1989, directed by Anthony Hickox, who also got his start in the horror genre with a little movie called Waxwork, and then he went on to do Waxwork 2, as well as Hellraiser 3, Big Hitters. It was written by John Burgess and Anthony Hickox, starring, and bear with us, there's a lot of characters in this movie, a lot of cool character actors, a lot of people you're going to want to know about. David Carradine is Count Mardulak. Do you think that's how you say it?
I thought it sounded kind of... You just watched it again. It was like... The way they were saying it, it was like Mardulay.
Mardulay?
But the way it's spelled, I'm Mardulak. Like, how was I getting I that out of that? So
I
who knows?
Know.
I think it's Mardulak. Okay.
Mardulak.
Maybe it's just one of the characters had a weird pronunciation.
Could Whoop. Be.
The dog just limboed under the mic.
We got Morgan Brittany as Sarah. She was a big, big character in the show Dallas. We got a little actor that you may have never heard of named Bruce Campbell. He plays a dude named Robert Van Helsing.
Tiny little guy.
Tiny little guy. We got the big old Dana Ashbrook who plays Bobby from Twin Peaks. That dude plays Jack in this movie. We got Jim Metzler plays David. Also in Waxwork 2. Interesting. We got Maxwell Caulfield as Shane. He was in Waxwork 2 also.
Mm.
We got Deborah Foreman, played Sandy. She was in Waxwork 1. Seeing a trend here.
Mm-hmm.
All of his buddies are coming along. M. Emmett Walsh is this crazy character actor who's been in so much shit, including The Jerk, Blade Runner, Blood Simple, Critters. How long has it been since you've seen Critters?
Oh, I love Critters, though.
I don't know. I'd love to watch that again. John Ireland as Jefferson. He's a big-time Western actor from the 60s. And he was also in Waxwork, too. What the fuck? And then, here's something I want everyone to remember. John Ireland is in a movie called Welcome to Arrow Beach. Keep that in your mind for the future, everyone.
Okay.
All right. The music and composer, Richard Stone. We'll talk about him a little bit later, if I remember. Where can you watch this goddamn son of a bitch? It's on Tubi. It's on Prime. It's on Fubo. A cat is freaking out right now.
She's a vampire bat.
It's on Stars. What the hell is that? It's on Plex. Freebie, Apple TV, Fandango. And you could also watch it on VHS if your friend happened to give you one. DVD. And there is a new Blu-ray release, which is a new trend that is apparently making people discover a lot of these old movies that we are watching.
So that's cool, though. I like it.
I do, too. Okay. It is now up to you to tell us what this movie is about.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Hit it.
There is a lot of characters, and I'm really bad with names, so I'm going to, like, be having to ask for help or lifelines at certain points.
Also, cheat.
Keeping track of everyone's plotline is hard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's true.
The basic structure of this film, like, it starts off set in this fictional, like, southwest town called Purgatory, which is located, like, in the middle of nowhere in the desert. And it starts with this man getting in an accident, a car accident, because I think he's doing blow, but I might be wrong. He's doing something stupid.
Oh, yeah. He was very much failing to do coke in
his
car.
Oh, really,
that's
trying.
Right. It was like blowing out the window, which everyone's had that experience, am I right?
Yeah, it's universal. But I don't, yeah, he was like in the wrong vehicle for that too. Like it was just
a
all,
convertible. Or
yeah, it was just all wrong. And he gets in a car accident and he stops at this like random gas station where these three old men are not dressed, they're there, sorry. I got confused ahead of myself a little
bit.
They
are dressed.
No, and they're dressed so good.
Well, they are. They're working it. No, but it is actually relevant how they are dressed. But they're just sitting on this weird little bench by the gas station. And they are all wearing these, you know, huge hats, like sun hats. And they're wearing sunglasses. And they're all wearing like they're all covered, like every part of their skin.
They're wearing overalls.
Well, they are wearing overalls, which
is cute.
I love overalls.
On an old man, yeah, it's the best.
I just, they're great. But that's not really the point. They're dressed a little strange and they have a bunch of sunblock also all over their face. And they're arguing about who's going to help this guy because he's also an asshole. Like he's just screaming at them. And he unfortunately makes a joke about how he thought they were dead, which is way more true than he will ever know. And long story short, one of them, whose name I forgot already, one of their brothers, they're all brothers, kills this guy. He just decapitates him.
It's an epic decapitation.
It's
boom, fantastic.
He just immediately does that. And before that, he also asks the question. He asks, "Are you David Harrison?" And right, when this man responds, "No," he's like, "Great. That sucks for you." And that's when he kills them. He's like, "Okay, bye." So that ends up being a way bigger problem than like intended, because not only now is there just like a dead man there, but also two other people witness that, which happens to be the guy who plays Bobby, his character, Jack, and then his girlfriend, whose name I also forgot. So they see the death and they flip out. But back to the like the more relevant story, because that's happening on the side, is their quest for justice for their asshole coke fiend friend.
Oh, right. He was their friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
we don't know right away. We don't know that.
No, we do. We know like briefly because they know his name. And also, why would they care about him?
Because he had their coke.
Basically. But that's not as important. Who is important is David Harrison. And his family is coming to Purgatory for like a little vacation because David Harrison is working with this man whose name I already forgot as well. What is his name?
Shane.
Yeah, very villainous name right there. Shane.
We all had to look though. I'm telling you, there are a lot of characters
in this.
Maybe Cody didn't need to, but I was like, yes, I know
oh,
who you're
no.
talking about. Shane.
I don't remember any of these.
It's like a soap opera.
It is a little bit, which is another reason why I really like this movie.
Yeah.
So Shane basically like asked David to come out and help with this the specific issue, which I don't remember what the guy's was, like what the like thing like he was told he was doing was. Like
he designed a piece of a factory that
makes
is important.
That's relevant. Yeah. Yeah. To like whatever project they're doing. He doesn't know that the project actually involves like creating a synthetic blood.
Which has the greatest name ever.
It does have a great name, which I also forgot.
It's called Nectarine, but it's N-E-C-K-Tarine.
Yeah, so Nectarine, which is this like synthetic blood they're creating, because Purgatory is actually not just some weird random town in the middle of nowhere. It's a town full of vampires in the middle of nowhere.
Hell yeah.
Vampires that are basically being rehabilitated so that they can eventually like coexist with humans. And Purgatory is owned by this man named Count Mardulok. He owns it, and this is like his big goal, essentially. So David has been brought in to like inadvertently help with this project through Shane. But also Shane has way ulterior motives to inviting David over. It's not just because David's like the only guy who could do this. Shane has a big boner for David's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, he really likes David's wife, and there's complicated history there. David's wife left Shane for David, and her name is
Sarah.
Sandy.
Sarah.
Oh, it's Sarah.
Yeah.
My bad. Too many S names. Yeah. Shane.
Snakes.
So many, but Sarah, okay? And there's actually, there's tea there. There's a little drama with that. I'm going to leave that for you to watch because it delighted me. I do have to say Shane is a tool and David is also a tool. And I feel bad for Sarah that like she's trapped between a rock and a hard place with these two tools.
Also, they have kids and
they
their
do have
kids are an interesting little plot point too.
Juliet and then the older sister whose name I don't remember. And Juliet's origins are kind of a mystery. Wink, wink. And she's a little weird.
She likes scary stuff.
She's quirky and is obsessed with horror movies and sees weird shit also all the time. She has really weird dreams that actually allude to future events that occur in Purgatory. Dun, dun, dun.
Ba-dum-bum.
But anyway, so yeah, the main plot is David and his family arriving in this town and Shane being like, yeah, I'm going to steal David's wife. And then he's also part of this like subplot where there is this man and his name is Ethan Jefferson. Yeah, Ethan Jefferson.
At least Jefferson is correct. You're probably right.
I think it's Ethan. He's like this vampire who's pretty anti this whole like, you know, vampire human integration. He wants people to like go back to what they were doing before. He doesn't like vampires like having to wear sunscreen all the time and being kind of like neutered. He's just not into this at all. And he also kind of dresses like a Salem witch trial judge.
He's like a pilgrim.
He's like a pilgrim. Yeah, like, yeah.
He looks a lot like that. And him and Shane are working together because Shane is also a vampire. Okay. They're working on the subplot where they're creating this secret weapon, which are these like guns that can kill vampires to take over Purgatory. And also like, I don't know if like eventually it's the world or just, you know, killing humans again is like their overall goal. That's what they want to do.
Right.
And Shane is kind of like involved in that. Like, I mean, he is, but he doesn't really care about that as much as he cares about like getting his girl back, getting his mojo back, essentially, because he's real bummed out that he lost his girl. Like, he cannot. It's really an ego thing, honestly. But anyway, David's working on helping with the project, and issues start to arise with Shane literally turning into a bat and attempting to assault Sarah, which unfortunately their daughters see. And Juliet said that she could see a vampire attacking her mom. So Juliet's got some like weird powers going on. And then also like while this vampire uprising is like building and about to occur, Van Helsing's like great, great, great grandson descendant comes to town.
And played by none other than
Bruce Campbell.
Exactly.
He comes into town on his side plot, his side mission, which is just to kill all vampires.
Mm-hmm.
That's his goal. And he kind of ends up falling in love with a vampire on accident, but also she's really in love with him. And it just kind of works out for her.
He's cute in this
he
movie.
He is cute. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Campbell is cute. Think that like the comedy would come from him and there are some goofy moments, but he's not really like the slapstick element of this film. He's kind of just like there. being Van Helsing. I think his name's Robert or whatever.
Yeah, Robert Van Helsing.
And he's also like terribly misguided this entire time, like throughout the movie. Like, I mean, you can't really blame him just because his entire life has been based off of like killing vampires. But he kind of has the wrong idea about which vampires to kill and which ones not to. And this girl whose name I forget.
The vampire
that's in love with him.
She's Sandy, very cute. I believe. That's Sandy. That's why you're fucking bringing a Sandy in.
Okay. She is like trying to help him because she has the hots for him too.
And she's one of, you know, these vampires that want to assimilate are actually like, no, we don't want to hurt humans. We want to assimilate.
Yeah. And she's trying
we're drinking fake blood and we're.
Right. She's trying to get that point across as hard as she can to Robert. But he just thinks she wants to kill him, and that's like it, like the only goal. And he's also dead set on finding Count Martilloc to like stop the evil that is coming. And eventually, like all of these random story plots like come to a head. Ethan Jefferson has like built up his army enough where, you know, he like got these random like, I don't even know, like punk kids from LA.
They're like city vamps.
They're like these weird. No, but they're not vampires. He turns them into vampires.
Right. But they, you know, they're like lost boys.
For some reason, they came there to party from LA and they're all like, oh my God, we should go back to LA, but we can't because we don't want to be part of this convent that's happening or whatever. Like it's stupid. But they become like vampires too. So Ethan gets a bunch of city fuckers to like join his army and they realize their guns work basically to kill vampires, so they attack. And it ends up David and the Harrisons, like the family, are the only ones who can like save the town essentially from this horrific event because of a lot of reasons, but also mainly that their child Julia is like a psychic or whatever. She's also giving like Children of the Damned child or Village of the Damned child. Mm. Like she looks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Scary. Yeah, she's a corn. She's a like, corn child.
She is a corn child. Like she looks terrifying.
And that's the first 20 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
And that is only the first half of the movie. No, that's the whole movie. There's like other stuff going on. Like, was there anything I missed? Does anyone want to mention anything?
No, I think that's a pretty good recap because of how convoluted it kind of gets with all the side
it
stories.
It truly is. And I know that's one of the like talking points is that like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely like, you know, I think the one thing to make a point of is as this movie goes along, it's really sort of ramping up into turning into a Western.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
The one thing is the setting, but you know, the whole creation of these wooden bullets that you could shoot at vampires, it's a kind of necessary plot point to kind of connect the Western genre and the horror genre together. But yeah, this is an interesting mashup for sure. But perfect recap, a lot going on in this one. So while we're on the topic of Westerns, horror, comedy, all the components of this, what I wanted to get into first was, so you went on a search for a horror Western, and I pretty much think this is the best option you could have come up with that fits our criteria. But since this is a mashup of so many different genres, I wanted to kick us off with a discussion of how you all feel about how this works as either a horror film or as a comedy or as a Western, and whether or not those genres gel in this film. How do you think?
It takes a special, special sort of movie to make. Well, it takes a special movie to make even two genres gel, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
I think it did a pretty good job bridging all three. And yeah, as I was trying to help her look for, I know you were, we were all like, fuck, like what? And I came across some and they're all big and I found this one movie called The Wind. Have you guys heard of The Wind?
Yeah, that came up in my search.
It has too many views.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it sounds like it might be kind of a cool one. I don't know. I don't want to recommend it without having watched it. But it's a horror Western, apparently, that's very female-centric. But too many people have seen it. I don't know. It's comedy, I feel like, is the hardest thing sometimes to add without being cheesy or just not funny. I don't know. How do you guys?
Well, I think it works successfully because like, of course, there are like maybe like problems with the movie. It's not perfect. It's like a silly, goofy movie. But I think like that's like what makes it work is the fact that it's not taking itself seriously.
Totally.
Whatsoever. It's really just there for fun. It's not supposed to make like total sense or like be realistic. Obviously, it's a vampire Western comedy film, but I really liked it. It was pretty chill. I think I've watched it like, this is my third time watching it, and I really like it. I think it works. Maybe not as much as a horror film. Like, it is a horror film completely, and it's at its core, but like,
it's vampires.
In terms of like, scare factor, obviously not, but that's not really like the goal here is to be scary.
And I think I want to let Cody speak, but I think the thing you said that is, it's really the crux of it is it doesn't take itself too seriously. Yeah. And that's what makes like, makes it a good watch. And you forgive some of the stuff because you're like, it's a like a wink and a nod, like you were saying, like they know.
Yeah.
The people who made it know what they're doing.
They're not trying to be serious in any way, shape, or form.
That's true. Yeah. I think in terms of the comedy, I felt it was a bit uneven. There was like definitely some one-liners and some gags that really worked. Obviously, Bruce Campbell's really funny, but then there are moments that kind of fall flat. And kind of what I was thinking of, here's kind of a random comparison, but you know, I was a big Kids in the Hall fan when I was a kid. And then later on, I got really into Upright Citizens Brigade. Going back and watching Kids in the Hall, the comedy felt so slow and kind of plotting, whereas Upright Citizens Brigade kind of felt like cutting edge and faster and sharper. And I kind of feel like this had that kind of slow, not super sharp comedy, although some of it worked really well. So definitely some good moments there in terms of the comedy. But here's an interesting thing. So a critic named David Flint, writing for a movie website called DesperateLiving.com, says, Sundown works because it isn't particularly restricted by the tropes of the Western movie. It picks and chooses which elements to play with, and in general, Hickox and co-writer John Burgess make the right choices. Most significantly, this includes a remarkable and epic score by Richard Stone, which I was talking about earlier, that very much plays on the great Western movie tradition and makes the film seem much bigger than it otherwise might. This and the vast landscapes that form a backdrop to the story and which Hickox uses to great effect give this film a grand visual scale that is unusual in a horror movie. And I think that's kind of an interesting critique because as a Western, I was like, you know, this actually works really well as a Western. Like, I was like, this actually hits all the notes you want. Everything up to like the big shootout at the end and everything. Mm-hmm, so I almost feel like it works better as a Western than it does as a horror movie.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about vampire movies because this is a vampire movie.
It is.
And my question is, why in the hell are there so many vampire comedies? Here's just a few off the top of my dome. Now, actually, I wrote them down, so that's a lie.
Dome notes.
Obviously, Fright Night, Lost Boys kind of lean into the comedy, although they're not, you know, strictly horror comedies. But then we have Love at First Bite, Once Bitten, My Best Friend is a Vampire, Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, What We Do in the Shadows, Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy. I know at least one of those is a Jim Carrey movie in that list. There's just like a shit ton of vampire comedies. I don't understand like what it is about vampire movies that lean into like, we need to make this a comedy.
I think it's that the older vampire movies are so melodramatic that it lends itself to just like a send up. That's
a parody. It's easier to make a parody.
It's easy to parody because it's so melodramatic or like, I don't know. That's just one theory.
I think it also like, now it's kind of overdone in the sense that like you can kind of associate vampire movies a lot of times with comedy or with romance. Like that's really the two genres I associate it with because it's usually pretty like sexy. Like vampires and like at their core are supposed to be like sexy and
sultry, which is weird,
and elusive. And like, I mean, it makes sense not to nerd out, but because they're like, you know, they're supposed to be like evil or from like hell or like satanic. Well,
and the contact, the way they get you is like this close contact.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, also like things like that are supposed to be seductive. They're like supposed to like lure you into the dark is like the goal. But my point is, it probably was like kind of a funny idea in general to be like, what if we take this like concept that is so like famous in pop culture and is usually like sexy or like scary or like you said, melodramatic, and we just make it funny and stupid? Because usually a lot of times, like, it's making fun of vampires. Like, that's what the comedy
is. Right, like they're bumbling or they're, so I wonder if there was a first, I mean, this is something maybe, like, if there was a first one, you know, because it, usually it's that kind of deal, right? Like, right, the first meta horror movie or whatever, the first found footage where then somebody latches on to it and then somebody else is like, I could do that, but better. Or here's, like, another angle on it. So I wonder if it was... Yeah, I don't know.
I definitely don't think this was one of the first.
No, you know, no. Yeah. I think it's an idea that is, I mean...
It's been around for a while. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, the ones that I listed off are kind of like 80s, 90s classics, but I bet it goes back further than that.
Yeah, like what about those guys? Like, what are they, like Albert or Abbott and Costello? Like the ones...
Abbott and Costello, yeah.
They like go to like Dracula's castle and
see,
shit.
See, maybe it started there. Which that was making me think maybe it's less about vampires getting... made as comedies, but about like Dracula is one of the like oldest pop culture texts. Just like, because then I started thinking about Frankenstein and I was thinking about Mel Brooks, help me, Terry Garr.
Oh, Young Frankenstein?
Young Frankenstein, you know, like maybe it's just that idea that it's like just this book that is in the public domain. And it is something everybody knows. So you have like an in to make a thing about it.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
you can
universal.
Take it any. Yeah, it's like universal. They're still making Dracula movies. So they're still making funny vampire movies. And, you know,
and Frankenstein movies.
Yeah.
Too.
And Buffy also. Like, I don't know why. I mean, there was a moment in this movie where they have the face change, like the Buffy, the vampire face change. But that fucking movie and that show. Pretty good stuff.
Super good. It's dark though.
It
like,
the show
the vampires,
does.
Like,
the movie
gets so dark for no reason.
The movie is just like pure fun.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I think maybe that's. I don't know. There's probably lots of reasons, but the idea that it's like a relatable cultural touchstone, older text that everyone knows, so everyone has like an in.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Dracula is kind of a cheese ball to begin with. So
yeah, it's
like,
a melodrama.
You know,
yeah, no.
Yeah, it's easier to kind of adapt him into comedy than
something
else.
Me.
All right, just to close this piece out, here's a funny little quote that I read somewhere. I didn't make a note of where I read it, but whoever wrote it said, if you thought Blade was the first film to feature vampires wearing sunblock, you'd be wrong.
Mister, speaking of forever, what can kill us anyway?
The sun? No longer. Sunscreens have changed things. Daylight is merely uncomfortable for us if we are protected.
What if you're not?
You fry like that on a griddle.
I think it was the same article said something about, like, this feels almost like a precursor to From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting. Okay, so moving on. This movie feels kind of simple at first, but as more characters are introduced, they all seem to have a stake in what's going on in the storyline, as well as their own shit going on. I'm interested to see how y'all feel about the balancing act here with all of the different storylines, characters, the way they're, you know, interacting with each other in the main storyline. Did it work? Did it not work for you? Do you think the movie tied it all together? Because I think there were definitely some conflicting opinions about that out there.
I think it's kind of hard to explain all the subplots, but that doesn't mean it was like hard to follow along, like for me. And again, because I think like this movie's so ridiculous in general. Like, while there's a lot going on, I feel like the format makes it easy to follow, or even if, like, you're not, like, getting everything, you're not, like, that upset about it anyway. You're just like, well, this is happening now. That's happening. This is all happening. I'm having a good time.
And the main ones are, well, actually, while Cody and I were watching it, I have to admit, we were like, who's the bad guys and who's the good guys?
Yeah, I definitely got lost. So who I was supposed to be rooting for.
But
there.
When I thought about it in retrospect, more as like a soap opera, as we've been talking about, Or, you know, reading articles about it being just like a vampire civil war, mm-hmm. right? And then subplots that are very soap opera. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's love stories, it's side quests, it's, God, those fucking three dudes in the overalls. That was my favorite. I think it's okay, even though it's convoluted, because like Buggy said, it's this convoluted stuff doesn't really affect your experience or enjoyment of the movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's definitely some interesting little ones, little subplots that pop up here and there, like the anti-whore subplot mm-hmm. where David is like always harping on his daughters and his wife for like their interest in horror films, which I thought was interesting.
But Mommy, I saw a vampire on top of you. I saw it all.
Do you think we should take Julie to a physicist?
Psychiatrist, darling. No, Julie is fine, aren't you, sweetheart? I've just been having some nightmares, that's all.
You've all been watching too many damn horror films.
The fact that this is sort of not really a subplot, but a character thing. The sheriff is a black guy, and we get to know that he's Jamaican just because when he comes on the screen, they're playing like
reggae.
What? Yeah. My brain.
Well,
just
then
went.
Also Shane like mentions that like
it's
at
just
some
like
point.
Here he comes, and then it's like the reggae starts playing, and you're like, okay, we get that he's. But there's like a bunch of little weird. Each character has their own, and even you know the Jack, the character played by
my
Dana
dog.
Ashbrook. What? My dog, Jack, my dog. Somebody, maybe that'll make him shut up. Dana Ashbrook, like he's a very much a side character, and you see him and you're like, oh, he's not really going to be in this movie. But everybody gets a lot of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
Or that weird old couple, like their plot point too is like kind of weird and sad.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, they're like this weird, like their origin is unknown and also like they've outlived their kids.
Right.
And they're like super old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the interesting ones, and you talked about this in your recap. So this is like a vampire civil war movie, but then there's this whole like love triangle soap opera in the middle. And I found one little write-up that talks about it. It was just like a blog post by somebody named Mr. Subtlety. The author ultimately really likes this movie, but their only gripe is the conflict between Shane David and his wife and how it's resolved. Because his wife, who had the affair with Shane previously, which she greatly regrets, and now this guy has designs on her again. But he says, it would have been nice if the conflict was about giving her a chance to definitively reject the jerk and take back some control of her life. Mm. But instead, the movie sees the conflict as being between the two men. And it's David who has to defeat the guy and claim the prize of his wife.
Saint Shane, the boy wonder, the charm school graduate, might have made a boo-boo.
Boo-boo? Does it still hurt that I had your wife?
Does it still hurt that she dumped you for me?
Well, she needed someone she could push around. A whip.
Asshole.
And she got one.
And he was kind of like, I don't really like that. It's kind of sexist.
Welcome to 1989,
for real.
Right, exactly.
Or welcome to 1999 or whatever.
Yeah.
2009.
And, you know, just to close this out, it's, you know, this is a classic late 80s, 90s. And the technique that I've seen a lot is they just kind of throw the whole bucket of spaghetti at the wall at the end. And, you know, we got the shootouts, we got all sorts of subplots converging, but, you know, that's just kind of the sign of the times, I suppose. All right. It's time to talk about Bruce Campbell, because we can't not talk about Bruce Campbell if Bruce Campbell's in a movie. What do you think about his performance?
I love him in a bow tie and glasses. I just read a couple articles that talked about his performance being too broad even for Bruce Campbell. And it made me start thinking about Bruce Campbell's acting style. And I was curious what everybody thinks about Bruce Campbell's acting style. Obviously, we all love him, but...
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've really only seen him in this movie and then in all of the Evil Dead movies.
Right. Hmm.
I think, like, I don't know. He kind of just plays Bruce Campbell in like a weird way. But I like him in this movie, and I love him in Evil Dead, like all of the movies. I love him in Army of Darkness. Like, he's like got this weird, like dry, sarcastic humor.
He's a ham, though.
He is a ham, and I love it. I love a ham,
and I love him.
He's a special ham. He's a rum ham.
He is a rum ham. Okay.
Yeah. No. I feel like Bruce Campbell's performance in this is a little almost. I don't know. I don't know if I would say overly broad. It almost seemed like it was dialed back a little bit, or maybe like kind of like focused on the slapstick more than what he usually does. But
he doesn't have a lot of lines.
He just kind of pops up here and there. But I think ultimately, I feel like Bruce Campbell is an American treasure.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know exactly what you're going to get when you see a Bruce Campbell performance. And it's either your thing or it ain't. It's kind of like Keanu. You can argue about his acting chops or Bruce Campbell's acting chops or whatnot, but when you're watching a movie with Keanu, it's more about him as a singular individual and not necessarily about his ability to transcend himself and turn himself into another character. And I think Bruce Campbell's similar, in my opinion. He brings something to the table that's uniquely him that I think sometimes a movie just needs that and doesn't need someone to, like, deliver an Oscar-winning transformative performance.
Totally. Just kind like of feel that joy way spot.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about Jennifer Jason Leigh, too.
Oh, we've like, talked about this. Yeah,
a lot of people talk shit about her just kind of playing herself, mm-hmm. but like sometimes you just need Jennifer Jason Leigh as who she is in a movie.
So why not get her to play that character when that's the character you're looking for? Yeah.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of actors in this film, let's talk about David Carradine for a moment. So this movie came out in 1989, which was exactly 20 years before David Carradine perished in a very unfortunate autoerotic asphyxiation accident. Rest in peace, David Carradine. Another note about him, apparently he was drunk throughout the entire filming of this movie.
That tracks.
Yeah. David Carradine's done some interesting things in his life. he was arrested for assaulting a police officer in the 50s.
Oh, in the 50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was arrested for possession of marijuana in the 60s, which is, you know, just something that happened.
Pretty normal.
He was arrested in the 70s for attempting a burglary. A burglary.
Okay.
As well as malicious mischief. He was under the influence of peyote at some point and was wandering around nude in Laurel Canyon. He accosted a couple young women. What else did he do? In the 80s, he was in South Africa and he was arrested for possession of marijuana again. He was always drunk. He was always getting DUIs.
Oh my God.
Great man.
Legacy. What a way to just like lay out a man's legacy. He was always drunk. He was always getting DUIs. And he also, when he autoerotically asphyxiated, he was in Bangkok, which I don't know why, but that just, he was in Thailand. It adds like an element of, because we know why some men go to Thailand, you know?
I don't know why he was there.
He was there to fuck. It sounds like he was there to fuck and suck and
sound like he was there to choke himself out and jerk off. But
it's still like, just because this is the thing, I feel like, maybe this is my big, you know, with all the things going on in the world, I'm going to pick an issue. And my issue is going to be to take the stigma out of autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, there are people that need homes. There are trans kids whose lives are under threat. But I am going to start a campaign single-handedly to take the stigma out of autoerotic asphyxiation. But it is like, it's just like, you know, people make mistakes.
Yep, true.
People are into different things. You're obsessed with it.
All right, enough about that.
Okay.
Have we talked about True Blood yet?
No. Buggy, take it away.
Okay, you want to talk about True Blood? Because I feel like this is a perfect precursor to that show.
Well, yeah, like the biggest thing is that, well, one, like True Blood is also obviously a Southern show. It's like set in, like, I don't even remember where it's set. Somewhere. It's somewhere
Louisiana?
There.
Yeah,
I think it is Louisiana.
Montomp.
Is Montomp, yes. The fictional town, Montomp. Anyway, they have, like, the whole point of True Blood is that vampires revealed themselves, but not in that way.
Dicks.
They just were like, hey, we're here. And then they developed this thing called True Blood, which is like the synthetic form of blood that vampires can drink so that they don't like attack humans.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if Charlene, whoever who wrote those books, had watched this movie and was like, oh, synthetic blood idea. Yeah. Yeah. You know, just, you know, curious.
Yeah. Even though that's book series and that show go some crazy places. Mm-hmm. Like, really weird.
It is an interesting thing, though. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that probably have never heard of this movie that are big True Blood fans.
Yeah.
And, like, had no idea that this is already a concept.
No, but there's not just the blood. There's this idea that there's, like, warring, you know, there are the vampires that want to assimilate, drink the True Blood. Yeah. Be nice to humans, never eat humans again, just be like, this is what I do. And then the, like, we're vampires, it's natural, which I feel like there's some different kind of, like, socio-political implications in that idea. Like, we don't want to assimilate. We are these people, right. You know?
That's why I invested in the synthesizing of blood. A new life, a chance for serenity, a faint hope that we might finally make peace with our maker. I know it's not going to be easy to live with mortals. Not easy to hide our ways from them. But we must learn to coexist. We must treat them as equals. We need them.
It's like against their nature or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that it's kind of a similar concept in this. This is, I don't know, I bet those books were written 10 years after this. I'm not sure.
They're like...
from the 90s, right?
No, they're from like early 2000s.
I think. Oh, okay.
They might be like, I mean, it could be like 1999, literally, but
yeah.
I think it was like 2000.
Okay, who's everybody's favorite character in True Blood? Off the dome.
Oh, shit. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Give me a second. Can I go last?
Yeah, you can go last.
Lafayette.
Yeah, facts. It's honestly tied between Lafayette and Tara. Like, I love them both. I also like Jason. Like, we were talking about this show earlier and I forgot how much I enjoy Jason.
Yeah, first beefcake I ever had a crush on.
He's so dumb. I love him.
I don't like beefcakes, but I like that Jason Stackhouse, y'all.
What is the... speaking of beefcake, what's the other beefcake's name?
Oh, I know. He's an Eric man, for sure.
Oh, Eric. Or there's Bill.
What's Eric? No, but what's Eric in real life? What you call Eric? What
his name? He's... he's Alexander. Skarsgård?
Yeah. That's your choice.
I don't know. I just like him and anything he does.
He's
a really good actor.
He's a really good actor. He does so much weird fucking shit.
Yeah, he does a lot of interesting
good
stuff.
Choices, I think.
He doesn't just, like, he's so hot, he could just, like, rest on that
he
shit.
Is hot. And it's really good that he cuts his hair in season two, because Eric with long hair was, like, cursed.
Kind of gross. Mm-hmm.
It was like you kind of had to pick Bill.
I hated Bill.
I don't like Bill either.
Why y'all don't like
he
Bill?
He has his moments where I do enjoy him quite a lot, but I was just kind of like, ew, Bill? Really? Bill?
Bill and Suki are still married in real life.
I know. Well,
y'all.
They're cute.
Ew.
I'm going to stop doing this accent. I'm sorry.
Bill?
Okay. A couple random notes. Apparently, American audiences never really got to see this movie when it was initially made because it never really went to theaters except for maybe a couple random ones. And was released unceremoniously to video a few years after it came out. So it kind of languished in obscurity for a long time until the big Blu-ray release. I don't know how long ago that was, but people are rediscovering it. It's interesting to read the old reviews versus the new reviews because people are seeing it now and seeming to really like it. But people that watched it initially back in the early 90s were like, what the fuck is this?
Oh,
why does this look like shit? There was an article from Entertainment Weekly from 1991 that said, a game cast of familiar faces is wasted in Sundown the Vampire Retreat, an anemic horror comedy concerning a western town populated by reformed bloodsuckers. Worse still, egregious cropping for video has reduced the movie's potentially handsome widescreen imagery to an unsightly choppy blur.
Damn, that's before they had to watch 4,000 fucking Marvel movies.
Which is interesting, because I'm like, I wonder what kind of VHS they had, because we watched it on VHS, and I was widescreen. Like, this kind of looks great for a VHS tape. I was confused by that. But...
yeah, it looks fine.
Okay, thoughts and feelings? Who wants to go first?
I mean, mine is short and sweet. I liked this movie a lot, and I will probably watch this movie multiple times.
Oh, cute. I like when you find, like, you're that. Doing good so far with your goal.
That's just what I want.
No, but your annual goal was to, like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I like it. It's a fun movie, and I don't care how anyone else feels.
Fair enough.
I have two thoughts. Well, I liked it. It was a lot of fun. I really hate late 80s, early 90s eyeliner trends, the like hard under eye line. I hope that's something that doesn't, you fucking would. I'm hoping that's not something that comes back. It makes a woman's face just look so harsh.
I think that pretty much there's crispy no hair. Makeup trend I don't like. Like,
wow, that's wonderful for you.
I think concealer lips are hard to pull off. Other than that, I think that you corpse. Can make anything can work.
Yeah, Cody could do it. And then my other thing I want to say is that it was a little bit triggering, the vampire bat rape scene, because that is exactly what our cat does every night. And I need to, like, get that up somewhere for everyone to watch, because I'm serious. It's like stop motion animation bat rapist. And that is what Hammy does to Cody and I at night, every night.
There's got to be a logical explanation.
The wife was nearly raped by a bat while you sat downstairs working. Logical enough.
I do want to clarify that she doesn't actually rape us.
No, but she comes in screaming and flapping on your chest and face. That's true.
I didn't even know that the bat was trying to, like,
I was trying to make sweet love to his woman.
That was really confusing.
And the kids were watching.
Well, and also, like, when the, like, mom talked about it the next day, she was like, that bat tried to rape me. And her husband's like, there must be a logical explanation for this.
Oh, my God.
And I was just, like, confused.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I would have, until the bat tried to rape me, I don't know if I would have seen it as, I wouldn't have read it as a rape scene.
No, I was confused.
But then these are the kind of, these delightful little...
You do get to see a bit of a dick in that scene.
Oh, there's some dick. Yeah,
there's, it's a little weird. And then, it could be also, like, potentially triggering for anybody. Like, I don't know.
I know,
like,
I'm sorry that I use triggering in such a flip way.
Yeah,
but
this is not to say we're, like, joking about that.
About rape. It's, but also, this cat does not allow us to sleep through the night about 4 to 5 nights a week.
Yeah, she is horrible. She's sleeping right now. So
she's just
gearing up.
She
later.
Is like saving up that energy for some sundown action.
Totally.
Okay. That's my thoughts and feelings. My cat is tormenting me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I thought this was fun. I love the cast. The concept was ridiculous, but also kind of ahead of its time, especially with the mashup of multiple genres. I thought a lot of the comedy worked, but not all of it. But there were plenty of flaws that I would note. I think, you know, as I mentioned, not all of the comedy worked. Some of it fell flat. I thought the numerous subplots and multiple characters made the film a bit bloated. I think it could have been dialed back just a bit. Don't think that necessarily worked in its favor, but it was manageable. I think they managed to, like, tie things together pretty well. I think the multiple genres watered down the horror components quite a bit. So I think, although I appreciated the effort to kind of boil all these elements into a stew, I think it kind of takes guts to sew so many ideas together into one cohesive film, which was pretty well done. But I feel like the horror stuff kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. So as a horror film, maybe a little weak. And then the final third was just kind of not my thing, because it was that classic, just like, everybody's shooting.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell's going on?
That clean decapitation from the beginning. That was so fun.
That's just a personal preference. A lot of people like that. So, you know, I won't fault you for that. But ultimately, I thought it was fun, but I did have some mixed feelings about it as a whole. Okay. Obscurity rating. Real quick here. IMDb votes. 3,800, well below our threshold. There were 65 critic reviews on IMDb, only 2 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is weird. This is available 8 places, including the VHS that we own and the Blu-rays that are floating around out there. Overall, 3.5, which I was expecting it to be a little higher. I didn't know this was as widely seen as it had been, but
But again, it's one of those ones that isn't widely seen in our circle. So it
true.
Feels,
yeah, I had never heard of it until I stumbled on this tape and then you picked it. So
yeah,
no. Good pick. Yeah, it's one of those weird ones where I think it's, I think nerds are into it, but no one else has probably heard of it.
We're
and
too
I guess
cool.
We're nerds.
No. Oh, we are. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. We're not too cool. We're nerds.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. let's do a final vote before we get into Buggy's special segment.
Yeah, we need to do a special segment.
Okay. You guys ready to pee your pants and do a little dance?
Yeah.
Eyes closed.
I know what
count
I
count of three.
Toes crossed.
Three. Two. One.
Oh, is that down right. or sideways?
It's sideways.
Right.
Is sideways allowed? Is that a new
well,
thing?
No, that is allowed. We've done it. We've done it. And that's allowed because...
No, because it counted, though. We counted as either way, and then afterwards we said sideways.
Okay, so here's what we had.
Right?
We had two thumbs up, and I gave a sideways. And here's what I'm going to say.
Sideways is new.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not really going to do a sideways because... I thought this was fun, but I'm going to have to round down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't go like just all the way down.
Right.
Because
right.
I didn't think this was a turd.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would tell someone to watch this for fun though.
Yeah.
That's my criteria.
That the horror is washed
out. It's not scary.
So by like the principle of like what this is about, it's not technically a horror gem. But I really like this movie. So.
But the three men in overalls and the initial decapitation, like, give me that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the whole movie's about vampires, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's three old man vampires in
you
overalls.
You just are obsessed because that's, like, what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah.
True.
All right.
Okay.
This new is segment.
Shrimp horn.
Dun-dun. Yeah, this is... Okay.
She's ready.
Yeah, so really quick before I begin, I think this is good that this is not going to be like the consistent thing we talk about because the more I thought about like what I want to talk about, what my theme is, the more I was like, this is going to be fun for me, but it might bum people out.
Wait.
So what I want to talk about is I started doing this thing like a long time ago, probably like a year ago. And I called it like bad depraved movie night where I like intentionally tried to find, you know, I think like when you're a horror fan, you hear about like certain movies that just have like a certain like, you know, reputation of being like particularly disturbing or kind of like the first of their kind in that way. And then also movies that just mainly focus on how many horrifying things can I fit in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for example, those are movies like a Serbian film, which like, if you haven't heard about that, mm-hmm. I don't think you'll want to. So maybe don't.
Watch it.
No.
It's, I haven't seen it. I probably am for the purpose of what I'm doing. But like, normally I just would not want to deal with that. And that movie is very famous because it is considered to be one of the most horrifying films ever. The like, theme of that movie is really bad. And then other movies like Salo or a couple that I'm going to talk
Salo.
About. Or sorry, my apologies.
I'm taking a Pasolini class right now.
So on scene.
We're not watching that.
And then like I have some more movies on here, but maybe I'll talk about them later. But the three I wanted to talk about were August Underground,
oof.
Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, which ooh. Is a Lucifer what? Valentine film.
I've never heard of such a thing in my life. He knows, huh?
Going hard.
Right yeah, these right are like the really intense.
I might need a little more wine.
And Necromantic. I figured this would be
okay,
something you need
this.
More wine for.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be shitty.
Okay, I think everyone's situated now.
Yeah, we've all done what we needed to do. Okay, so the three I'm going to be talking about are August Underground, Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, and Necromantic. I'm going to start with like the ones I rated the highest. And I also want to make like, okay, two very, very important prefaces. If you like these movies, that is totally fine. I do not blame you. There are some like weird movies I like. I like disturbing movies. Personally, I'm just going to be so real with you. I hated all of these movies.
I succeeded as a parent.
I did not like a single one for kind of the same reason. It's not just because a lot of these films, and this is also the other important piece, like I am just going to put a trigger warning for like literally every bad thing you could think of. The main one being like torture of women. And there are a lot of movies, and this is kind of like a weird way to phrase it, that incorporate that I like a lot. Like Martyrs is a really great movie. And I think Twin Peaks falls into that category as well.
Fire Walk With Me
specifically. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just this specific format I did not enjoy. Anyway, so we're going to start with Necromantic, which is a film from 1988. It's a German film, basically just about kind of what it sounds like. It's about this man who works as like a crime scene cleanup guy, and he takes body parts and things from the crime scenes to give to his girlfriend, who is a necrophiliac. I'm not going to go more in depth than that because it just doesn't need to happen.
Right? Fair enough.
It just doesn't. But just so you know, it is gross. I gave it a 2 out of 10 because the ending of this movie, I love so much. Like, and that sounds weird, but the ending of this movie is so bizarre and gross and weird. And I loved it. I recommend this movie. Maybe if you can just like find the ending clip, watch it. It's super funny. It is gross though, and it does feature some film of like someone skinning a rabbit. So I'm pretty sure that is involved in there. I'm sorry about that, but the ending involves an exploding dick, and I just
you've told me about this in great detail. Actually,
love it for that. That's why.
Okay.
Anyway, next.
The second time exploding dicks have come up on this podcast. Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen something like that. And that was ridiculous. Pun intended.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, it's still disturbing. So fair warning. I just thought it was really funny. Then Slaughtered Vomit Dolls. This is also a trilogy, if you were curious. This is a trilogy. I'm not going to watch the next two ever. This is by a man named Lucifer Valentine, and he's kind of like a sort of cult director.
He's a real piece of shit.
Is he part of the Satanic Church or something? That name sounds like
He's kind of like one of those. I do not enjoy his film style whatsoever. He also is known for this movie. I think it's called like Black Tar Heart. Or something, where it's like a documentary that follows like heroin addicts, and it's like also like gotten a certain amount of hype around it for being like super messed up and like raw and crazy. So that's kind of his vibe, is like super messed up and raw and crazy. And this is basically just like a film that's about a serial killer who has like a site on the dark web called slaughteredvomitdolls.com. And it's this very 2000s movie that's just mainly focusing on one girl getting tortured and murdered, but also features other murders. Those are kind of interesting. And I am going to give him credit because the gore in this film is insane. And I do not think he had a big budget. It's all also like, it's not special effects. It's practical.
It's real murder.
It's all real murder.
Snuff film.
No, it's not. But it's all practical effects, and that was impressive because it was super nasty and it really grossed me out, like really bad, which makes sense because it's called Slaughtered Vomit Dolls for a reason. I did not enjoy this movie at all. It made me sad and grossed out really bad. Not a big fan, but
this segment is awesome.
it hurt me. I know, that's why I'm like,
I'm totally into it.
I'm glad I'm not doing some of his other
films. Slow Torture Puke Chamber and Regurgitated Sacrifice.
I bet he's ugly.
It's physically a lot for him.
I don't know if anybody knows what he looks like.
Yeah, because he's ugly.
I don't think so. But I am also going to say, you know, if you like this film, that's fine. I don't care.
No. Yeah, everybody do what you feel.
I don't care, hurt people. But I just, wow, just not my thing at all.
It sounds like he's like a Rob Zombie -.
Yeah, it's, wow. But this comes up in literally every single, like, if you ever look up like most disturbing movies, this comes up every single time, all the time. Anyway, and this is the worst film I've ever seen. This is the next one. August Underground. For my review, I just said so bad, and I gave it like a -1,000 out of 0. So this is actually gonna kind of a rant really quick.
Okay, here we go.
And I need a little backstory on this film.
Here, pause for music.
Okay. I hate this movie so much. It's like violent, my hatred. So this is like, this was made in 1999, and it was, you know, kind of hailed as like the most disturbing film ever made. And it got this hype around it because I have to give some, you know, some credit. This was kind of one of the first movies like that reached a mainstream audience like this. There was a couple of this style of film, which is basically just like a found footage-esque film.
Mm-hmm.
There's Guinea Pig. I think it's Slaughter of Flesh and Blood or something like that. That was from the 80s. Backstory on that. Charlie Sheen, you all know him, winning.
Yeah, Tiger Blood.
He got that sent to him and he called the FBI.
Oh.
Because he thought it was real.
Right.
Are those Japanese, the guinea pig? Okay, that's what I thought.
Flower of Flesh and Blood, whatever. But that's what it's called. But anyway, there were a couple of films kind of like that they're basically like fake snuff films is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also what I was going to kind of say.
Better fake than real.
That's what I was going to say with Slaughtered Vomit Dolls. I hate that movie, but I would rather you watch people be not actually exploited in kicks. That environment mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. than in an actual
same
thing. But I also think like, you know, it's kind of a question of can media be harmful or not? I do think like I'm not a big fan of censorship, but there has to be something said for like promoting that type of behavior. Like I would worry also because these movies, I found them all for free.
Well, like, I was about
random
to,
places.
Yeah, like if you're like 15 and you see this, which I was gonna say I'm going to take away your internet access now.
Whatever.
I'm kidding. You're an adult.
But you know, I also just think like if that's something like in you, that's in you, regardless of what you mm-hmm. see, that's kind of another point. But mm-hmm. regardless, I don't necessarily like the themes of these movies. I don't like what they promote, but that's subjective.
If you can get off on it for fake though, it's much better than real.
True. I'd rather that.
That's always how
anyway,
I feel about it.
August Underground is this shitty, like it's just like this, it looks shitty. Mm. All the colors are super saturated. It's supposed to kind of look like a shitty home movie. And it focuses on these two men, and I don't know if they're ever named. And it's basically them just kidnapping people and keeping them in their basement and murdering them.
Mm-mm.
This movie Mm-mm. also features a lot of poop. I'm not going to talk about
poop. Good.
The a lot involvement of, what? Poop? Of poop. Yeah, but the amount of shit in this movie is insane. It's ridiculous. And it does kind of have more of a plot than maybe like the former movies I talked about. Not more actually than Necromantic, but maybe Slaughtered Vomit Dolls. Because it's sort of about like a progression of violence within the main evil man who I hate so badly. Like it's even worse, I think, because it's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie where like women get tortured, but also the main torturer is like the worst, most obnoxious, annoying, grating human you've
That's
ever met?
That's how they are, though. I bet.
No,
you.
But like
they're not like charming conversationalists.
No, of course not. But like he's exceptionally.
I am.
Horrendous, and I don't know if I really hope that actor is just like really good,
right?
Because oh my god. What an annoying person.
In addition like, to being physically hurt, you have to like listen to this guy. Is
and
that
it's
what you're
just really sad too. Cause it's also just like random people catch strays from these like two really shitty people. And it's again, just a lot of like gross shit. That's really nasty. It's just not great. I really don't like it.
Dreams tonight.
And I stopped my like, whole thing because I watched this movie. I was like, fuck this. I don't even want to watch another movie ever again.
Oh, wow. I'm going to church
now.
Movies. This segment is just a therapy session.
Yeah. I hate all movies forever.
You can find
now.
Her in the second pew at the Catholic church.
I was upset. And now I'm back because I'm not going to let that movie destroy me.
Yeah, don't let the terrorists like break you or
but
whatever.
But it honestly made the other movies look really good in comparison to this one because I can't. I
August
can't just keep saying I hate it because that's all I can say now. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, I can't even like muster up the strength to explain.
It is sort of like with all the people in the world that have like these beautiful projects in mind that can't get funding, and then something like that gets made.
Well,
right?
They probably didn't have any funding either.
No, it's, and you can tell.
They're from the, they, you know, probably made some weird like torture porn, ugh, actual porn, and oh, there goes the mic.
Yeah.
I was going to make you a list of other things to check out, but it seems like you might be
She's
over it.
She's done.
No, I'm not over it. That's
you
what I'm
two
saying.
You motherfuckers, no more.
I'm not over it. Ugh. I'm starting it again. But the other thing I'm taking into account is I was mainly focusing on the ones I knew I was going to hate.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
I was like, I know I'm going to fucking hate these. And that's why I was watching them. So now I'm putting in some ones that like might be less bad.
Have you watched Salo?
I have not. That one's on my list.
Yeah, it's, you haven't watched Serbian film? You started with like
unfortunately,
the most garbage.
I did start with the garbage, and that's really why it got really bad. Like, I have to have something else going on.
That at least has like an element
bad.
Of art to
have
it.
Have you ever seen the movie Toad Road?
I put that on my list also. So yeah, I'm starting that again, and I might come back, but next time with ones that are, maybe I have something better to say about. Because this is really just me, like, taking out all of my anger about, like, what I had to watch. Because it was really bad. I also watched the Poughkeepsie Tapes. And if you like that movie, I'm super sorry. That movie's shit.
Oh, it's that's shit. A found footage, like,
yeah.
Dinky piss shit. Not as bad dinky as the other ones shit. I talked about. But it's not good. So, yeah. That's my story.
Fair
that's
enough.
My segment. Yeah. I will be back maybe with more that are not
oh,
horrible.
Is your segment going to be a continuation on this theme?
Only like a couple of times, not every time. I need breaks too. I don't want to talk about this all the time either.
I am moving out, you guys.
Should we start like a side quest podcast? Where
yeah,
this is
the two
all
of you out
about?
On your fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Should we get on YouTube and like really rack up the views?
No,
I
Cody
just
want to
watch
money.
Beautiful things. I just want to watch
about this
things.
Too because
you
he's
guy.
Actually like when I told him I was doing this, he also was like, "Here's this one and this one." And this one. And I was like, awesome. This is cool.
I haven't even seen the most infamous ones.
I just want to say that I said Pasolini and I meant Pasolini.
She really wanted to get that straight.
Also,
I'll just edit that back in.
No, you can't. You can't fix it. It's
yes,
fine.
Yes, I can.
I picked the movie for next week, though, you guys.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Well, guess what? As usual, I crowdsourced it or I Bob sourced it. He really has some ideas, but this one I'm interested in. I mean, his ideas I'm interested in, but this one is called Night Feeder.
Night Peter.
It's not Night Peter, and this is going to be a constant thing that's happening while we talk about Night Feeder, F as in Frank. It's from 1988, and it looks like it's kind of like a San Francisco punk scene kind of thing, which it might be shit, but it might have some like fun music and some funny dialogue.
Heck yeah.
And that's my choice.
And then we're going to do a segment about how much you love animal murder, right?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know what my segment's going to be, but it might be about, yeah, like cookies and flowers.
Yeah, maybe like feel-good movies is what you could talk about.
Fuck you.
Talk about Overboard.
I'm here to talk about Overboard.
Which is a really good movie.
I am going to take a class about witches in film. But I don't think that I'll have started it yet by the time we record next. So anyway, my segment won't be about women getting tortured and shit on.
Yeah, I tried to keep it light, though, and not really talk about that and just about how much I hated
and
them.
I'm fucking outnumbered. Both of you were like, fuck you, you fucking snowflake ass bitch.
No, that's not what we said.
No, it kind of is, though. I feel it. Anyway, Sundown, the vampire in retreat.
Yay. Women getting tortured and shit on.
They don't get
you
shit
might
on
as well. You know, in the new America, it's just sort of like, you know, put yeah. on your fucking, what the fuck they wear in the, you know, the red gowns or whatever. Help me out here. Margaret Atwood.
Girl,
The
what?
Handmaid's Tale. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Go clean your shit off.
Go clean your shit off and watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Oof, oof, oof. Sundown, the vampire in retreat.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt.
Oh,